Welcome to Stopgap Talks, your go-to podcast for expert insights into the marketing, digital, creative, and research recruitment landscape. With over 30 years of experience, our consultants are here to share the wisdom, strategies, and success stories that can transform your hiring or career journey. If you enjoy the episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review to help others find us. Now let's dive in to the latest episode of Stopgap Talks.
Welcome everybody to our latest episode. I'm joined here today by my two colleagues, Kate and Claude. My name is Zoe. We're the three lead consultants at Stopgap. And today we're going to be having a chat about the importance of human connections in the recruitment process. Before we get going on to the topic.
Yeah.
I thought it would be quite a good idea for us all to talk about the reasons why we went into recruitment, the things that drew us in, the things that we love about it. So who wants to start?
I'll go with that one. Well, I'd had 12 years in an advertising agency as an account handler. I've worked with Stopgap as a recruiter to help me find people working in my team. I loved the way they worked, and I think what I really loved about my role as well in agency life was the interaction with people and how the different team dynamics worked and the strengths of different teams. So when the opportunity came up to be a recruiter at Stopgap to connect people like that, but almost from the other side into agencies, for me, that just really made sense because I loved working with the people aspect of the role I had. So I never looked back. It always made sense to me, and talking to people and the clients about what they were looking for and then finding those nuances in the candidates I spoke to. So it was connecting the right kind of people together that did it for me and still does do it for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got a similar story to you, I think, actually. Stopgap candidate and a client. And I think the thing that tipped me over the edge into thinking about recruitment, and I loved all the people side. I was always doing all of the inductions for new team members and clients, and I really liked the kind of training development side of things. But I met a really amazing consultant, Nat Woolhouse, when I was in a very low place working in a really tough agency, and it was just like a lovely warm hug when I met her. She totally understood where I was, what I needed, and gave me the kind of courage to step out into my first freelance role.
Brilliant.
That ended up lasting 6 years.
As they do.
And again, when the opportunity came up when I was in Sydney, I jumped at it. It was a job that I, for the first time ever, I'd loved all of my agency jobs, but this was a job that I thought was the perfect fit
for you.
And and it still is to this day.
I'm very different.
That's good.
So I, like a lot of people, I think, fell into recruitment, but I fell into it because I was looking for work and I was going into a high street recruiter at the time to get brush up on my Excel skills. And I just liked the buzz in the office because I was there for a few hours. I could hear what was going on. And I didn't realize it was a job that existed like that, where you were talking to people and you were listening to people and asking them questions and then finding them, you know, jobs and, you know, making their lives better, basically. So I ended up joining that high street recruiter.
Right.
But then one of my candidates got a job here at Stopgap. And when I was looking to leave, I actually met her for lunch and she recommended me to Stopgap. And what I loved about Stopgap was that it wasn't about you present this many CVs and you'll get this many interviews and that will make a placement. It was about finding the right person for the job, not just anybody. And that really appealed to me. So, I loved the job. I kind of didn't like the hard sell. But I really liked helping people. So, that's what drew me here.
Here we are many years later.
Yes.
So you say you're different, Claude, but you're not in a really, because there's definitely that theme.
Yeah, there's the theme. It's just, I came in a different, I wasn't a stopgap candidate before, yeah. which had a lot of our consultants were and got the experience and then
the marketing came in that side. Way.
I think it was the ethos that drew us all.
Totally, I think that's absolutely right because candidates have always been at the heart of stopgap, and of course we want to service the clients, but it's finding that initial motivation, drive, want from a candidate then helps you look at
can't do our job without them.
Which I suppose leads us as to why we're talking about the human side and the connections and what drew us to do this job, and I suppose that's what we're talking about today, and why we're talking about it today is we all know that, like for many industries, AI, can't get away from it. AI is replacing elements of recruitment. And we know that right now that is having a huge impact on everybody, especially the candidates. And the experience that they are having, obviously also then has, because of that experience, it's also having an effect on employer branding, employer reputation.
Automated processes don't sell your brand, what it's like to work there, and job descriptions don't give that. You need that person to bring that job to life, the company to life. That's why it's important to have that balance, I think, and at the moment it doesn't feel like there is that balance.
And so much of the recruitment being done now is clients will put an ad on LinkedIn. Hundreds of candidates might apply for that job, then they don't hear anything, not even receipt of your application being received, and they just think, am I in with a chance? And they just don't hear anything. And the more that, you know, what I'm really hearing from candidates is, it's really nice to speak to a human being, Kate.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't got the right job for them at that stage, you're sowing seeds, you're helping
just
make
to acknowledge them.
It's just nice to speak to a human being. Mm. And that takes time.
Mm.
And that's why companies are not doing it. They just want to find the candidates. Don't want to talk to anybody who's not necessarily right. We haven't got the time to be doing that.
Mm.
And whilst we won't speak to every single application that we get, because we just can't, that's the manpower, we will acknowledge every CV that we at least receive. People know it's not gone into the ether. And then when we are having communication and talking with candidates, whether it's on the phone, on Teams, in person, there's just a stronger connect. And it's better experience for the candidate. It's more insightful for us. And then we're going to be hopefully more accurate and have good reasons as to why we're sharing that candidate with the client.
Yeah.
So yes, AI absolutely has its place, but the danger is that it completely takes away that human touch, that human aspect. And that's what we at Stopgap really want to hold on to.
Yeah, because you hire people, you don't hire CVs. I think that's the big thing. And also,
personality.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
You know, people are saying, I've put my CV like this because I think it's going to be picked up by AI and I've got to have the right terminology. Yeah. It's like, but who are you?
Yes.
It's not just the words, is it?
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's way beyond that. And I think that's the tricky balance, isn't it, to try and strike that? Because internal recruitment teams more than capable of finding, you know, all the right people, but don't often have the capacity. And so bringing in all of this technology helps boost productivity, but it can come at a real cost to finding the person that actually is going to do the best job.
Exactly.
Because they might not have put the right words on their CV.
Yeah. And it's like Claude and I were talking this morning about how AI can help with systems, productivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was on Radio 4 the other day. We were talking about that. But we can use AI to help us be more efficient in how our systems work and things. But ultimately, our commodity is people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's not what AI is there for, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And frankly, if it was, I wouldn't enjoy my job as much because I didn't come into it to work with systems and processes.
No, we don't want to sit there just
people. I process it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see something on a CV and think, oh, it looks really interesting. I'll give them a quick call.
Yes.
And we've got that time and permission to do that.
Yes.
Because it's not always about hitting those targets. But we were talking as well, when you see a CV and then you get the surprise of the person behind it, you find uncover that real gem and it's not what you're expecting from that CV. Or equally, you might have to work really hard in a conversation, which you know, can be frustrating, but is also quite interesting, because if you dig, you can get that person to open up. Maybe because they might not have been used to maybe talking to recruiters at, you know, length.
And they're talking about themselves.
Yes, when marketers are not great at marketing themselves, are they?
It's a classic. But who is, to be honest? I mean, you don't spend your life talking about yourself and what you do. It's not like you go to the pub on a Friday night and go, right, well, this is what I do.
Well, maybe some people.
Okay, some people maybe. But that opportunity to talk about what you have achieved in your role, what maybe you haven't liked in your role, what you want to do more of, what you're thinking about, what you'd like to do, and just using us as a sounding board sometimes. Yeah. Not every conversation we have is somebody who is on the market.
Yeah, a transactional conversation. This job, this salary.
Yeah, a lot of those, especially the people who maybe have used recruiters throughout their career, feel more comfortable to have those conversations. Yeah. But, you know, that's what I enjoy listening to somebody as well who's kind of at the start, who's hasn't yet maybe written a CV, but is just at the beginning of going, what is out there right now? What's the market looking for? You know, we have those, I suppose, these thing about the human touch, maybe the human connection.
We're not those kind of girls.
Exactly. those kinds of connections, that's what's also going on. Like you say, it's not always transactional what we're doing. It's about helping people, guiding people.
Giving them ideas of things they might not have thought about. Your skill set could transfer into this kind of role, or if they're looking for a new challenge. And that's the thing that's the really nice part of our job, isn't it? Having those kinds of chats with people and those little light bulb moments for them.
And even better
then, if you've got a job you can chat to them about.
Along those lines.
Exactly. But sometimes, I mean, I do talk to myself. I will, as Claude will contest this morning, talk out loud whilst I'm doing sometimes. And I think sometimes you're having the conversation with candidates, it is allowing them to literally talk out loud, maybe think about things they hadn't thought about. What are you best at? What is it that you most enjoy in your job? What would you not miss if you never had to do it again? And sometimes some candidates do say at the end of it, that was almost a bit like therapy. And it doesn't mean it's an hour, you know, with hummy music and what have you, but it's very practical. But it's also human. That's about, and it's you know, it's got to lead to something useful, insightful, but it is just having that human aspect to it. Again,
or sometimes as well, it can be, actually, I've realized I don't need to leave the company or the job, because you might have talked to them about how they approach working with a difficult person or a line manager, or actually there are training opportunities, or so I think that's the thing that I really like, is just being able, the conversation can go anywhere.
That's very true. Are you running away, or are you just needing to reevaluate?
Are
you frustrated? Or are you thinking, as the conversation I had the other day, is it just a case of, I want to know that I'm not missing out on something great out there. So I'm fine. I know at some point, maybe in the next 12 to 24 months, it will be time, but I just want to find out, what is it like out there? Is the grass greener?
Well said. Or if I want to get to that particular kind of role, what are the things that I need to do between now and then?
To get there. Exactly.
So, yeah, that's the lovely part of the job, definitely.
It is. And, you know, we say that, obviously, that's on the candidate side. But we're equally having those conversations with our clients. It's not, again, it's not always a transactional, here's a job brief, let's talk about it, go and find me some people. You know, there's a lot that goes on in terms of salary benchmarking, or understanding what trends are they seeing in the market. What is the market doing right now? What are they seeing? What are their challenges? What are our challenges? Just, you know, again, it's a transfer of knowledge.
It is. I mean, I would say some clients are a lot more receptive to sort of letting you in. Recruitment does have a bit of a dirty word, yeah. but let's face it, it's absolutely crucial to businesses yeah. Yeah. to recruit the right kinds of yeah. people.
In the right way.
So in the right way, mm. completely, because it reflects on their company, yeah. their brand, and I do think that gets forgotten a lot. Mm. Considering how important people are to a company, I sometimes feel insufficient time is given to that mm. process.
Yeah.
And we might be working with companies who have an internal talent team, mm. but they're too busy.
Yeah.
Or there's a particular brief with a nuance and they just can't crack it. Mm. So they might come to us mm. as marketing specialists mm. to work on that mm. one with them. But this is where we need them to find the time to talk to us. I mean, mm. literally talk to mm. us about that role. You know, some of the roles I'm working on at the moment, I've spoken to some of those clients,
mm. yeah.
but not all of them. Yeah. Some will send you a brief, but they don't have the time to talk to you. And again, I need to know more than the brief yeah. to yeah. find the best kind of person for you. And in the long run, it's worth giving me those 20 minutes
mm. exactly
to help me better find the right solution for yeah. you.
Because what's on the job description is not often the reality of what you turn up to end up doing, because it's also about the team and
totally.
The sort of processes and different stakeholders, budgets.
And the business. And the business. What's happening yeah. in the business. And yeah. what, you know, if you're lucky and you've worked with a client for a number of years and you've mm. watched that client develop and grow, mm. brilliant. You've got a lot of insight.
Yes. Yeah. And they're the lovely ones.
And they're yeah. the great, yeah, that's fantastic. But if it's a brand new business, brand new client, or maybe it's mm. somebody who's moved into that business who's now getting in contact, then, you know, that's what we are here for. It's to be mm. able to build that picture for those candidates to help them decide. If we've had conversations with them and we know what motivates them, mm. then it's having those and, it's going, this is kind of matches some of what you were saying.
Yes.
Here's a few concerns, maybe, yeah. that might not be a fit. You need to have a think about that. Or this is the perfect.
Yes. Yeah. I'm really excited.
I'm really excited. Yes, exactly.
And you get the brief, and you're excited presenting. You know, recently I was excited about presenting a candidate mm. for a role because yeah. the client, the candidate, oh, she's going to love that and they're yeah. going to love her and everyone's going to be, yeah, it's just a genuinely nice mm. feeling.
It
yeah.
is.
So everybody in that process needs to play their part yeah. in this human aspect, touch yeah. element.
When it works brilliantly. Because mm. I think, I always say recruitment is a little bit like speed dating in a way.
Yeah.
Especially freelance yeah. recruitment.
Yes, yeah. exactly. I would say
it's just like dating. Yes. Right now. There's no yeah. speed
yeah.
at the moment.
Yes, no speed. But it is speed in a way because you're making important decisions based on a couple of hours conversation.
Yes.
And when you bring somebody into a team, it's a really kind of delicate operation because you yes. bring the wrong person in.
Yes.
And that changes. Can really cause yeah. big, big problems. And you don't want to have to go through recruitment again.
No.
After thinking, oh, I finally found the right person, and then they come in and it doesn't work. Mm. So it's really important to get that recruitment process right. But the big part of getting it right is that initial briefing. Because, yeah. I mean, we've all had roles where they'll say, look, here's the role. This is the skills that we're looking for. But actually what I really need is somebody who's going to be a good stabilizer, a good mm. guiding light. I've got a couple of junior people who are needing a lot of, you know, guidance and stability because there's been lots of changes or whatever it might be. I mean, I had a role recently where the client gave us the time and gave us loads of information on all the different people, the different offices, the different nice. Cultures within those different offices, mm-hmm. talked about the role. And I immediately had somebody in mind when they were talking. She had the skills and she had the personality fit. She did not have the sector experience, which they said was vitally important.
Often they
so
do.
I just yeah. kept yeah. her in the back of my mind. And then we went through the interview process, finding all the right people with the skills and the sector experience. Mm. but not the right personality. So then I said, have a look at this little curveball. And it was a match made in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's because lovely. I had that information up front
yeah.
that I knew the kind of person that they needed. Because you can always teach skills, yeah. sector knowledge, etc., but you cannot teach a personality.
I totally agree.
And having that conversation up front, 15, 20 minutes,
yeah.
can be a real insight into...
A game changer.
It can be a game changer, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that when I was yeah. a client in Sydney, And this, we were talking about this the other day in terms of, you know, machine versus human, where I spoke to the stopgap team and said, this is what I need. We had a really difficult client and they sent me through a couple of CVs, but they said, this is the one you should interview. And I looked at her and I was like, why on earth have you sent me this person? Because, I mean, I only needed a freelancer.
Yeah.
But she was a serial freelancer, good experience, but she basically, her passion was sailing.
So she dotted between
she
the
dotted about the until sailing. The new sailboat came into the harbour and then she was off. And so I phoned them going, I really don't understand what's going on here, because she wanted literally 8 weeks and then she was off on her next trip. And they said, look, this is what you need. You said that you've got this campaign going out. You've got all these multiple mail packs. You've got different print campaigns, all sorts of things. She's done it. And she's used to cooking on a boat in gale force conditions. She's literally not fazed by anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm really unsure. But I met her and I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Literally, I could just throw it at her and she did it. And she ended up staying for 6 months.
And the fact that you remember that, Zoe, years ago.
Many, many years. They just said, trust us. We've worked with her for several years. And it was that conversation that, you know, that trust. They knew what I needed because we'd been working together for a while, but we'd had really open and frank conversations.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she came in. But had she gone through a portal...
Exactly.
She wouldn't have.
Exactly.
Because she didn't have all of the right job titles. Yeah. Her CV didn't have all of the right keywords.
Yeah.
But they were able to convince me to say, look, just meet her. You only need to do 15, 20 minutes and I can promise you, you won't regret it.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, 15, 20 minutes, I can spare that.
Yeah.
She stayed for probably an hour because she was great fun and we heard all about her sailing adventures. She's probably still sailing the high seas now, don't
I? I mean, that's not to say that a CV can look completely irrelevant to a job description. There's got to be some connects.
Yeah, she definitely had multiple experience.
You know, we will get lots of candidates applying for a role and you read maybe what we've advertised versus what the candidate... There is often quite a lot of disconnect.
Yeah. Or interpreting things in their own way as well, isn't it?
Realistic about that. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how I want to sell my... And I think also as well, it's the passive and active candidates. You need more to woo a passive candidate, don't you? And a job description...
Or more information.
Yeah. A job ad is not necessarily going to do that. Because like you're saying, you're talking to them about... This is what, when we chatted last time, you were saying these are the kinds of things that you were looking for, the kind of working environment or the challenge.
And I know the team is this and here's the profile of X. But again, if you've not received that insight from your client, you're not giving the full picture, are you? No.
You're just relying on words on a screen.
Correct.
Convince somebody to take the plunge.
But how do you, I mean, this is, don't get me wrong, this is how we love to work. It's not the reality for a lot of people right now, is it?
No.
It's very tough to get those conversations. So, you know, like you say, we can't speak to everybody.
Yeah.
And we speak to them. There are a number of people frustrated with the way things are right now. How do they try and make those connections, would you say? Like, what advice can we give people listening to this to try and get those connections, to try and make themselves?
It's a tough one. I mean, you had somebody, when you said, oh, how are things going, she burst into tears.
Yeah.
Some people are absolutely on their knees.
At their
wit's
end.
And I think a lot of the conversations we have can turn into counselling sessions. And sometimes that can be enough for people to...
Let out
the emotion you know, I'm not good enough, or what am I doing wrong? I'm just, you know, not hearing anything. I don't know whether, you know, I need to change the CV in this way or that way, or am I looking at the wrong kinds of jobs? And I think being a good listener and allowing them to have that time, and people have got resilience as a parent, something I think about all the time. It's hard to teach yourself resilience, but people do need to try and not take it all personally. But you've got lots of resources. There's lots of networking groups that you can get involved in.
And I think for me, it's not just doing more of the same.
Yeah.
So you can apply for 100 jobs a day on LinkedIn, But are there really 100 jobs advertised that your skill sets are relevant for, or you're really going to enjoy? So, you know, I wouldn't be just applying for jobs all day on LinkedIn. One of the candidates I'm working with at the moment, she's a brilliant networker. I totally admire her. I met her, this lady through a network event that I was at. She was a stopgap candidate of old. We're talking again now. And she is going to events. She's being a little bit cheeky. She's, because there's a lot of events you can go to in person, but they cost money.
They cost a lot.
And when you're
them,
not working, what have you. But she'll go around finding her network, or who knows, perhaps someone at that financial arrangement and what have you. So she's making her networking through that. She's active on LinkedIn. She'll post. She'll give observations. She'll comment on other people's. It's not just about apply for job, apply for job. She's very good at keeping in touch with me. So it's having a rounded approach to it, and also allowing yourself to take a break.
Because it's, as you say, not applying all day, every day, because that's soul destroying. And when
really
you come to
is.
An interview, what have you got to give then? You do need to just kind of redress the balance just so that you can actually cope then with the, you know, the interview process and sell, not sell yourself, I hate that term, but
the best.
Give yourself the best impression of yourself, because it's all about having good conversations. But if you are, you know, dragging yourself through everything, it's going to make those conversations hard work, I think.
I mean, job hunting is hard work.
It's a job.
And it always has been hard work. It's not just now, it's always been hard, whether you're in a job, you're working very hard, you've got to find time at the end of the day, at the weekends, to be doing your job hunting. You've been made redundant. You don't know when the next job's coming along. All scenarios are tough. And that's not really changed. And there are lots of jobs out there. But I think also in marketing, we've seen a lot of shift in the sorts of marketing roles are, and there's a lot more that involves the tech side and the data side. And, you know, maybe if you've been in marketing for 20 years, some of that you never had to do before. So so we're in a time, aren't we, where industry is changing dramatically, and the skill sets that are needed going forward are changing. I mean, you know, I can't keep up with some of the technology we use these days. So people are allowed to feel a bit exhausted by it all, because it is a tough place. And that's why this human aspect is perhaps even more important. It's not the magic wand, but it is a very important part of the interview process, how you find the best candidates, how you find the best match to a job for you. So it's as it was, but with extra challenges, I think.
I think it's, I always say to candidates, it's not always going to be a reflection on you and what you can and can't do. It's a reflection on the market.
Exactly.
And the algorithm.
Oh, God, love it.
And some candidates, you know, we're dealing with some very senior candidates, and those interview processes can take forever.
It can be really grueling as well.
You know, seven stages of an interview, and then you're like, I was one of two and I didn't get it. And they're 6 months down the line. How tough is that? And you can understand why they don't want to be applying through these automated systems, you know.
So we were talking again, but we had a client that we've worked with for many, many years and always placed this freelancer with them. And then they brought in a new bit of software, new recruitment team. So, and they were recruiting for the role. We were recruiting for it at the same time, but it was 100% rejection. And the recruitment team saying, there's just nobody out there. And we were like, well, there are, because we've got these people. And actually one of them is somebody who worked for you last year doing this role. And it was only because we had this relationship with the line manager. She phoned and she said, I don't understand what's going on. Why haven't you got any candidates? You always have candidates for me. I said, well, we have presented four people, including lovely Chloe. And she was like, oh, okay. So she organised a meeting for us and the recruitment team. And it was only then that they looked in to how they'd set everything up, that it was literally so rigid, nobody was being accepted. But had we not had that relationship with the line manager,
it would have taken months.
It would have taken them a long time, because they
and everybody gets frustrated.
Yeah.
And then also I think the job sort of
gets a bad reputation because people think, oh, it's been out there for ages.
Yes.
They've been advertised. Yes. A gazillion people you can see on LinkedIn have applied for that job.
Yeah.
It starts to get a bit dusty.
So they start, they start to think something's wrong with the job or the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it's new tech.
Mm.
So there's always going to be teething problems with new tech.
Yeah.
So it's just...
It will evolve.
It will evolve.
And the balance will come.
And the balance will come and it will get better. I do believe that, we have gone through in our... Like, as you're saying about the change of skills, the change in our roles and the tech that we use in the... It's fast. It keeps coming. But I do think the balance will come round, and I do believe that eventually, if we're going to have all these applications, I do believe AI eventually will be really good at helping people understand whether it is they do have the right skill match, and then they can get through to a conversation faster, and then the people who don't necessarily have the right skill match will know sooner. And they'll know it.
Yes.
And then everybody knows where they stand. Because I think it's the silence more than anything right now.
Silence can be very loud.
It's incredibly loud, I think, right now. And I do, it's interesting you talking about the person you met networking. Because I always remember when I first was having my interview training to become a consultant here, hearing over and over again as consultants talking to people that they met, about 75% of jobs came through your network.
Mm. Yes. All of my agency jobs before I came to come was my old boss calling up saying, there's a role here, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'd have an interview at the pub and that was it.
Yeah.
The first proper interview I ever went through was for Stopgap.
Well, that's true. So in that respect, things haven't changed. Mm. It's just obviously right now, the pot of jobs is smaller, but utilizing your network and getting out there and talking to people and seeing that there are other people in the similar situations as you, just sharing really your experiences, it does help.
Yeah.
And staring at a screen all day will be soul destroying. And I know it's very easy to sit on our side at the table and say, take a break.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, where's the next money coming from?
Yeah.
But the reason we say it is exactly, it does show later down the line. Yeah. So you do need to look after yourself in this process, because you're helping yourself when it gets to interview process.
Yeah. And when it comes to doing the job.
So I promise you, we do say it with other thoughts in mind, because we feel for everybody right now. But I do think it is getting better. I do think it will get better. And I think AI will help us.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, I mean, it's here. So
it's here. It's not going away.
We've got to get on with it. I think it's the tweaks that might need to happen.
Exactly that.
And
how we harmonize between us. AI and the human.
And the humans.
And I think, I think it's for clients as well. It's thinking about... Also, it's not just relying on AI or any kind of ATS or whatever it might be. It's also the fact that there are things that they can do to make the recruitment process better.
So
if all of your communication with a candidate is purely automated, you have no sense of the person who you might be inviting to an interview. You don't know anything about, the motivations behind the job search, what else they might be interviewing for. You don't have any of that insight, but equally you are not creating any of that kind of
connection
or stickiness factor.
No.
If they are interviewing for four, because there are, when we're talking to candidates now, they are interviewing for more jobs now. This is the fourth interview I've had this week. And actually I can't make this interview because I've got another two, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's really important now that you create that kind of connection
and engagement.
Otherwise, it's very easy for them to dismiss you from their process.
Definitely.
Because whilst there are more candidates, they're not always applicants or applicants converting into committed candidates.
Committed candidates. It's very true.
I'm aware that we've been talking about this quite a long time.
Yes, we have.
Because it's something that we genuinely feel strongly about, believe in, and see the value of.
Yeah.
But we've bent a few ears of our listeners now. So
we have.
Maybe we should be summing up and saying our cheerios. So is there anything anybody wants to just conclude on?
Well, since as we were talking about, you know, interviews and things like that, we thought it might be a bit fun just to kind of, we've all been doing this for quite a while. You are cringing.
We're not going to put you on the spot.
I won't put you on the spot.
You can try me first.
I'll try you, Mary. So, okay, what is your go-to interview question?
Oh, this one is, I would always say, what would your colleagues or line manager say about you when things are really tough at work or there's a crisis?
Yes.
Nice. Because that can usually, you know, bleed out into multiple different types of conversations and insights. But that's probably the one that I try and wheel out.
But, yeah, okay. Shall I answer that one?
Yeah, go on.
I think I would ask, what is it that you most enjoy about your job?
Mm.
Because I want it to be a genuine answer. So I'm not saying what are you best at, or give me three words that your colleague would describe you as,
yes,
or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, what do you, between you and I. So they might say, I don't know, I love having a chat at the water cooler, or I love managing my account manager, or I love the creative aspect. I want a sort of genuine answer and insight, and something that perhaps they wouldn't be asked at the interview stage, but I just think it gives you a truer understanding of what makes that person tick, you know, because if someone was to ask us the same question about our job, and ultimately our jobs are all the same, we'd probably all come at it from a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
Well, I think that would be my
question. What about you?
It's a question I like asking.
So what's your legacy? When you leave this company, what's your legacy?
This world. That's a nice one.
Yeah, that is a good one, I think.
Behind.
Okay.
There's another one. What word to describe a good recruiter? Who wants to go first?
A brilliant listener.
Mm-hmm.
Curious. That's mine.
I think I'll say open-minded.
Oh, that's very pertinent. And
yes.
Just need that in all one person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Rather than the three of us. And what is the most overused term in interviews?
Oh, yeah, you've got a good one for
it
this.
It wasn't interviews, actually, to be honest.
CVs.
I was ranting probably about a year ago. And I think it was mainly because people had definitely started using AI to help them write their CVs. And I couldn't for the life of me understand why everybody was spearheading everything.
Yeah.
And suddenly...
It just gave me these visions of what's happening in an office and people charging around.
It really was. I just had a moment where I think I must have looked at like five applications and everybody had spearheaded in their CV. And I just was like, what is this word? Where has it come from? And why is everybody doing it? And then you start seeing it in job descriptions as well.
Yes.
And it was like, it reminded me of years ago being in a client meeting and hearing the word omnichannel for the first time.
Oh, yes.
And then I came out of that meeting and I got an email from another client with a new job, and it was omnichannel, and it was just like suddenly this term was everywhere, and that spearheaded.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost like we need a bit of a sort of bingo card, don't we? And we can throw spears every time somebody sends a CV.
Otherwise, darts. Yes. Okay. Yes. Anyway, I think that's
a nice one. We're going to finish on the vision of spears.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed listening to us. Please do let us know your thoughts in the comments.
I hope we've been a bit helpful.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.